to the Old Testament scriptures, to the prophecy of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1. Begin our reading at verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms, to root out and to pull down, and to destroy, and to throw down, to build, and to plant. We'll end our reading of God's Word at verse 10. Several months ago, I was able to address a special day regarding the seminary with some of the Free Reformed churches. And at that meeting, I used this as our text for consideration. As I was thinking of this chapel today, I thought really that word would be most appropriate for us here. What about life after seminary? Some of you are soon approaching that time. All of you, sooner or later, will be facing life after seminary. What to do? And how can you know what to do? How can we know what God's will is for our lives and for our ministry? And that's very simply the theme that I want us to consider today from this text. Discerning and doing the will of God. Certainly every believer must be sensitive to doing God's will. There are some aspects of God's will that are explicitly set forth in Scripture. And all we have to do is obey. It's clearly and specifically revealed. But yet there are other things which are not explicitly revealed, but I believe discernible through the wise use of the means of grace and a proper interpretation of divine providence. And we must be sensitive to both. And although I can't find my name particularly and especially written in God's Word, I do believe that God's Word is directly relevant, always having a word in season. The Holy Spirit will graciously take that living word without ever changing the message and the meaning of the ancient text and apply its significance to our hearts. And I think we are able to learn from the examples that the Lord gives to us in Scripture. And it's to that end that I want us to look here at this beginning of Jeremiah's prophetic ministry. Not just giving us biographical facts about Jeremiah, although indeed it does, but to see this as a pattern, as a paradigm, as to how God works in the lives of His people. I don't think I want to preach to you today, but simply talk our way through this text. If I end up preaching, that's all right, but I simply want to address you and talk through some of these very important issues. An issue I say that every one of us have to face. And it's going to be an issue that once you find yourself in the ministry, that your people are going to be coming to you over and over again about how can I know, can I know what God's will for my life is. God has a purpose, and God has a plan for His people. And as we work our way through this text, I want to make three very simple, but yet I think far-reaching statements. First of all, let me say that God's will is discernible. We sang today from Psalm 25. Psalm 25 is a most important psalm that gives us direction and gives us clues as to knowing what the will of God is. It starts by expressing the psalmist lifting up his soul unto the Lord, an expression of dependence and reliance upon God. And as you make your way through the psalm, you'll find that the psalmist is desiring to be led by the truth of God. And it reaches a climax in many ways. I think it's verse 14, where it says that the secret of the Lord belongs to those that fear Him. The secret of the Lord. That word secret has the idea of intimate advice, the counsel that friend would give to friend. And here the Lord, the psalmist, is saying that this intimate counsel, this intimate advice, direction from the Lord, belongs to those that fear Him. Now, there's the condition: to live in the fear of God. That fear of God that is the awareness of God, the consciousness of God, the factoring God into all of the circumstances and all of the issues of life. And certainly as we come to seek the will of God and to know the will of God for our life, the fear of God becomes a necessary prerequisite to live with that divine consciousness that God is real and that we are to factor God in to every circumstance and every situation of life. And certainly when we come to this matter of the will of God, there's going to be more than just logic. There's going to be more than just what would be comfortable for us or how we could best meet and satisfy our own concerns. A sensitivity to the reality of God in every area of life. But I say God's will is discernible. And I think through this paradigm before us, we can say, first of all, that this is going to come through the Word. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, an authoritative word, a power-filled word. This is divine communication, what the psalmist says, to be led by truth. The means of grace, to use the means of grace, the word of God, God speaking to us, having our ears open to the direction and the instruction that the Lord has for us. A use of the word regularly, reflectively, incorporating prayer into that use of the word of God, a routine word, a regulative word, regardless of the issues. There has to be, and if the word of God itself is true, we believe it is, then there's going to be a word that addresses us, whatever the point of our need is. The psalmist says that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. That body of instruction, the word law there is the Torah, the body of instruction. It's the most general word that we have in the Scripture to define Scripture itself. Here is this corpus of revealed truth that God has given to us. And it is perfect, that is, it's complete. It converts the soul, that is, it turns the entire man, it affects everything concerning our being. So when I come to the Word, I expect, I have an expectation that God indeed is going to speak to me. And how much we rely upon the Word, I think, is going to be a serious index as to how serious we are about knowing what God's will is. But I'm not saying, and please, I get concerned sometimes about the way people use the Word of God. This is not a magic book. This is not a book of magic or a talisman or a crystal ball where we can just open it up at random and put our finger on some verse and take this as the will of God. speaking here of a regular and a routine and a regulative use of God's Word that becomes a light unto our path. It may not be that there's going to be some verse that jumps out at us. Say, this verse is where I can stake my claim. Maybe, maybe not. We don't want to put God in a box, saying that He's always going to reveal Himself and direct us in exactly the same way. I can look at my own experience over my life. And now, in the third principal ministry that I've had, and God has directed me in different ways in each of those instances, both entering in and leaving, and but different in every way, but through His Word. Be open, be sensitive, and be searching the Word, praying for the Spirit of God to speak to us from that Word, not to change the meaning. Not to find some mystical or magical interpretation. No, it's going to be what the text says. But the Spirit of God can take that living Word and take the message of that living Word and apply its significance to our hearts according to our needs. It's a light unto our path. But we learn also from Jeremiah, not just the Word, but discerning the will of God through the divine preparations, through the exercise, if you will, the manifestation, if you will, of God's providence. And we certainly see that at verse 5. Three principal verbs. We have the statement here, before I form thee, before I form thee, before Jeremiah's conception, before his conception, there are three things here. All first-person verbs that the Lord here is expressing to Jeremiah. Before I formed thee, I knew thee, I sanctified thee, I ordained thee. Before he was born, God had a purpose and God had a plan for Jeremiah's life before his very conception. And the Lord here assures him, therefore, that his life is not just the consequence of some biological occurrence, but his life ordained and purposed and planned from before his conception, indeed, in the eternal mind of God. I knew thee, he says. I knew thee. Not just about him. This is more than just intellectual apprehension. This is that electing knowledge, that special interest. It's the principal word for, one of the principal words for election in the Old Testament scriptures. I've known you in a very intimate way, in a very purposeful way, from before your conception. I sanctified you. I set you apart. I have a place for you. And that place has been determined. It has been determined. And now ordained. Jeremiah learns now. He learns now specifically what the purpose of his life was. I've ordained thee to be a prophet. There's the particular function. But every step, I don't know how old Jeremiah was here. I don't know how old he was when he comes to this knowledge of what God's will for him is at this particular time. But God makes it clear that every step of the way, even, I'd say, before his conception, before his conception, God had a purpose and God had a plan for him that now is being revealed to him in time for the performance of that ministry. His very existence was part of God's plan. And I don't know what happened. We don't know a thing about Jeremiah apart from his birthplace and his kinfolk and I don't know how old he was. I don't know what he was doing in life as a young man, as a boy. But all of those things were now being orchestrated together to bring him to this place where this particular ministry, where this particular focus for his life was now very clearly revealed to him. We look at our lives. There's things in retrospect when I look at how God has led in my own life that now make sense, now make perfect sense. And I see how they have all worked together to bring me to where I am in the service of the kingdom today. But I must say to you that when those things were happening in my life, sometimes they were disappointments. Sometimes they were disappointments. Sometimes I didn't understand why God was doing what he was doing. You know, why was it in high school that I was on the debate team instead of the football team? Right? A debater? I mean, come on. That's nerddom, right? That's nerddom. And on top of that, I played trombone. What kind of, you see? But I'm saying what I'm doing now serves me far better, my debating skills, than whatever football skills I never came to attain. God was working. God was working. I wanted desperately, all right, when I was in high school and in early college, I wanted desperately to be a lawyer. That's all I ever wanted to do in life. But here I am. Here I am. And there were things at times that I was disappointed over. But now all things, I look back and say, yeah, would you look at that? Would you look at that and see how in the preparation of the Lord in my life, and I'm just a little peon, but in the preparation of my life, how all of these things have worked together to bring me to the focus of the ministry that he's given to me here. And my guess is that there's things that have happened in your relatively short life that were disappointing at the time. But nothing in life goes wasted. Nothing in life goes wasted. God is orchestrating and God is bringing all of this to the special focus, what he has prepared us to be, what he has prepared us to do. He brought you to this place, but you're not going to be here forever. You're training here to go out someplace else to minister. And there are going to be this opportunity and that opportunity, this door open, that door open, this door shut, that. Sometimes disappointments. Sometimes disappointments. But God, from before your conception, I said, this is a pattern. This is not just true for Jeremiah. This was true for all of us. All of us that are God's people and we're desiring here to know what God would have us to do. It's discernible through his word, as we put all of the things of providence together. Can I say secondly here from the text that God's will is doable? But before I say that, let me even pause and say this, that God's will is daunting. It's daunting. Look at verse 6. Here's his response. Here's his response now for the first time apparently in his life. Jeremiah knows what he's going to do when he has grown up. And he looks at what God has called him to do, to be a prophet unto the nations. And he said, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak. I can't do this. I'm a child. His initial response here was hesitation, was diffidence, a lack of self-confidence. I can't speak. He's not talking here about his dumbness, but his inexperience. I'm a child, and we don't take that here as any indication of his age. This term is very elastic in terms of the number of years that it refers to. But he's focusing here upon his inexperience. Well, I can't do this. I don't have the experience. I don't have the abilities. I don't have the talents. I don't have whatever to do what you're calling me to do here. Not unlike Moses, when Moses was called and the multiple excuses that Moses brought before the Lord. I don't think Jeremiah here is really offering excuses. But I think he is expressing here the soberness and the fact that he's overwhelmed. He's just flat out overwhelmed with what God here is instructing him and saying, this is my will for you, Jeremiah, and how can I do that? How can I do that? Genuine concerns here about his inability. I think it's his honest self-assessment. But, and here's the irony of the whole thing, isn't it? The irony of the whole thing, as he recognizes his own weakness, as he recognizes his own insignificance and his own inabilities, he's confessing and he's acknowledging ultimately his primary qualification for the job that God has called him to do. Paul says what? Who is God called? Who's God chosen? Foolish things? Weak things? To confound the mighty? So the fact that he's expressing here his inability, his weakness, his insufficiency, hey, that's not a disqualification. It's a qualification for the ministry. And it's a very sobering thing for us all. For if God has indeed called us to the gospel ministry, and I think we all at least know that much now, if God has called us to the ministry, if God has put us in this particular position to be a prophet, to be a preacher, to confound the mighty, to put down worldly wisdom and whatever else, rather than puffing up, that's not a reason for puffing up. That tells us what God thinks of us, right? If God has called us to this ministry, that tells us what he thinks. He thinks we're nothing. Remember Ezekiel, how often God referred to Ezekiel as the Son of Man. You weak, frail creature. But when the Spirit of God empowered the Son of Man, Ezekiel, to do it, he could do it. And so it is for us. But it's daunting. It's daunting. No matter what it is that God has called your first church, it's going to be a daunting thing for you. It's going to be a daunting thing for you. And it should be. Well, it should be. Again, I ask your pardon for my personal illustration, but that's all I know. You know, when God called me first to my first ministry, I can't do it. But it was clear, and when he called me to leave that one and to come to the next, it was daunting. And when the Lord called me here, 2.5 years ago now? 2.5 years ago, called me here. Why? It was daunting. It was daunting when the Lord has put me, the Lord in his providence has put me in relatively small ministries all my life. All right? It's fun. And now I'm coming to work with Joel Beakey, right? And David Murray, who's got blogs and he's known all over the internet world. And there's Dr. Bilkis with his degree from Princeton. And I was scared. All right, I'll be honest with you. I was scared. It was daunting. I'm not ready for this. Even though I was 62 years old, I'm not ready for this. Right. Come on. But God made it clear. And it's all right to face the ministry being overwhelmed and aware of your weakness and your insufficiency and your inabilities, you see. Because it's not about us, right? It's not about us. But God has prepared. And again, if you'd have asked me 10 years ago, would you be up here? Furthest thing in my mind. If you'd have asked me 3 years ago, would you be up here? Furthest thing from my mind. But God made his word and his will clear. Nothing special about me. And there was nothing from that standpoint special about Jeremiah, you see. This is the way God works, I believe, for his people. Now then, let me say that God's will is doable when we're conscious. When we're conscious of the divine mission. Look at verse 7 there. But the Lord said unto me, say not I'm a child. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. There's the mission. The Lord addresses the specific concern that Jeremiah had. I don't know what to do. I'm just this inexperienced person. I don't know what to do. The Lord says, don't worry about that. I'm going to tell you what to do. I'm going to give you the instructions. Here's the mission. Here's the mission. You must go. And the language here is forceful. You Hebrew scholars there, you know the forcefulness of this. You must go to all that I will send thee. And whatsoever I command thee, you must speak. No options here. God said, I'm going to give you the word. Here's the mission. And if we can be conscious of the mission of what God is now instructing us to do and calling us to do, simple obedience is required. No other option. I don't have to worry about how people are going to respond. That wasn't the issue. You just do what God has called you to do, and with the confidence of that mission. And here's what we can rely on. Because when you get out into that ministry, it's going to be a tough thing. Later on in the chapter, the Lord makes it clear to Jeremiah that he was not calling him to an easy road. There were going to be opposition. He was going to be up against iron walls and whatever else. And Ezekiel was put into the midst of scorpions and briars and brambles. Lord told him that up front. It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. But what will give us confidence when we find ourselves in the midst of the opposition, in the midst of, after the honeymoon of your ministry is over, right? And you start facing now your elders and your deacons, and even the elderly ladies are no longer saying it's the best sermon they've ever heard. It's going to be a hard thing. It's going to be a hard thing. But if we can know and put our finger on what God has said and called us, it's the confidence that we have that this is the will of God, that this is the will of God that will give us the necessary strength and confidence to do the ministry that he has for us to do. So we're conscious of that divine mission, but we're also certain of the divine presence. Look at verse 8. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee. For I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Don't be afraid. It's a frequent command that God gives to his people. And invariably, every time God commands his people not to be afraid, they're in circumstances and situations where they have every right to be afraid because they're scary. And Jeremiah was going to be faced with opposition. His life was going to be threatened. He was going to be misunderstood. He was going to be hated. He was going to be imprisoned. He was going to face some scary stuff. But God says, don't be afraid. Don't be looking to them. Don't be looking at the danger. Don't be looking at all the scary stuff. You look to me. I'm with you. I'm with you. And that's always. When you see that in Scripture, so often the instruction not to be afraid is paired with that promise that I'll be with you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, in that deep darkness, scary place, I'll fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. And it's the consciousness. It's the consciousness that we can have, the certainty that we can have of God's presence with us that will bolster us, that will encourage us, that will give us the strength to carry on, that God will not abandon us, won't forsake us. If he's called us, he's going to be with us. And you follow Jeremiah. Interesting development in the prophecy of Jeremiah, a series of what we call Jeremiah's complaints, Jeremiah's confessions or Jeremiah's complaints, as he finds himself now in the midst of this opposition, conspired against, imprisoned. And he begins to question the Lord. And he even says, Lord, you lied to me. He called the Lord a liar. But God was patient with him. And God would always bring him back. It's interesting. You look at those complaints, those confessions of Jeremiah, we call them. And invariably, the Lord comes and simply reminds Jeremiah of what he told him here from the very get-go. Nothing has changed. Yeah, I know you're in a pit, Jeremiah, but hey, I'm with you, you see. I know you're being conspired, but hey, I'm with you. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. You're not experiencing anything I didn't. We just stay faithful. But we can do that if we become conscious and aware of the reality of God's presence with us. It's doable. God's promise, we go on to the next section. You see something of God's promise in the vision there of the almond tree. I won't get into that. But another confirmation another confirmation that God would keep his word. So from time to time, there are going to be decisions that you have to make. Decisions that are not clearly expressed in the Scriptures. Sometimes God leads in ways that we can come to the proper decision without any crisis. Other times, crisis. Other times, we face a dilemma, not knowing what to do. Again, I don't want to reduce this to something trivial of just using the Bible as a crystal ball of, you know, and I've talked to people that way. They say, I was going, and I just opened my Bible at random and stuck my finger here. Not the way it works. It's not a crystal ball. Not a magical book. But through the regular use of the Word of God, it may not be a verse. It may not be one verse. Use my own life here as an example. In the first ministry that the Lord led me to, I could not give you a chapter in verse. I could not do it. That called me to that particular ministry. But there was no doubt I was in the will of God. Now, to leave that ministry, there was a very particular text that the Lord gave me. Coming here. A whole series of things from the Word of God that just heaped up one on top of the other, on top of the other, on top of the other. God leads, not always the same way. Not always the same way. But from the paradigm, God leads through His Word by His Spirit, enabling us to understand the works of providence. But don't make it a mystery. I've often told students that the best way to know God's will for the future, and we're always concerned about what will I do, right? What's going to happen? Always, as though the will of God is some kind of a future thing that I have to be looking for. The best way to know the will of God then is to submit to it now. To submit to the will of God before you know it. All right? Because it's not going to be an option. You submit to God's will before you know it. He's not going to play games with you. He's not going to take you around the proverbial barn. Decisions to make, but His word, the secret of the Lord, belongs to those that fear Him. Let's pray. Our gracious Lord, we are thankful for Thy Word that is a living book. Message unchangeable. The significance becoming personal by the application of the Spirit of God. So we pray, Lord, that we would be sensitive to Thy Word, that we would be submissive to it. Pray for each of these students. Pray for us all, Lord. Pray for us all that regardless of our station in life and regardless of where we are, that we would be conscious of God, living in the fear of the Lord, and that we would be submissive to wherever the will of the Lord would take us. Apply Thy Word, O Lord, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.